I just worry it leads me deeper and deeper into talking about the investigation in an open setting. I'm always trying to be fair. I don't want to be unfair to President Trump. I'm not trying to suggest by my answer something nefarious, but I don't want to get into the business of saying not as to this person, not as to that person.
On February 14th, the New York Times published a story, the headline of which was Trump campaign aides had repeated contacts with Russian intelligence. You were asked earlier if that was an inaccurate story, and you said in the main. Would it be fair to characterize that story as almost entirely wrong?
Yes.
Did you have, at the time that story was published, any indication of any contact between Trump people and Russians, intelligence officers, other government officials, or close associates of the Russian government?
That's one I can't answer sitting here.
We can discuss that in a classified setting then. I want to turn attention now to Mr. Flynn and the allegations of his underlying conduct, to be specific, his alleged interactions with the Russian ambassador on the telephone, and then what he said to senior Trump administration officials and Department of Justice officials. I understand there are other issues with Mr. Flynn related to his receipt of foreign monies or disclosure of potential advocacy activity on behalf of foreign governments. Those are serious and credible allegations I'm sure will be pursued, but I want to speak specifically about his interactions with the Russian ambassador. There was a story on January 23rd in the Washington Post that says, entitled, FBI reviewed Flynn's calls with Russian ambassador but found nothing illicit. Is this story accurate?
I don't want to comment on that, Senator, because I'm pretty sure the Bureau has not confirmed any interception of communications. And so I don't want to talk about that in an open setting.
Would it be improper for an incoming National Security Advisor to have a conversation with a foreign ambassador?
In my experience, no.
But you can't confirm or deny that the conversation happened, and we would need to know the contents of that conversation to know if it was, in fact, improper.
Yeah, I don't think I can talk about that in an open setting. And again, I've been out of government now a month, so I don't also don't want to talk about things when it's now somebody else's responsibility. But maybe in the classified setting, we can talk more about that.
You stated earlier that there was an open investigation of Mr. Flynn in the FBI. Did you or any FBI agent ever sense that Mr. Flynn attempted to deceive you or made false statements to an FBI agent?
I don't want to go too far. That was the subject of the criminal inquiry.
Did you ever come close to closing the investigation on Mr. Flynn?
I don't think I can talk about that in an open setting either.
We can discuss these more in the closed setting then. Mr. Comey, in 2004, you were a part of a well-publicized event about an intelligence program that had been recertified several times, and you were acting Attorney General when Attorney General John Ashcroft was incapacitated due to illness. There was a dramatic showdown at the hospital here. The next day, you've said that you wrote a letter of resignation and signed it before you went to meet with President Bush to explain why you refused to certify it. Is that accurate?
Yes, I think so.
At any time in the 3.5 months you were the FBI director during the Trump administration, did you ever write and sign a letter of recommendation and leave it on your desk?
Letter of resignation? No, sir.
Letter of resignation?
No, sir.
So despite all of the things that you've testified to here today, you didn't feel this rose to the level of an honest but serious difference of legal opinion between accomplished and skilled lawyers in that 2004 episode?
I wouldn't characterize the circumstances in 2004 that way, but to answer, no, I didn't encounter any circumstance that led me to intend to resign, consider to resign. No, sir.
Thank you.
Senator Harris.
Director Comey, I want to thank you. You are now a private citizen, and you are enduring a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing, and each of us gets 7 minutes instead of five, as yesterday, to ask you questions. So thank you.
Senator Harris is a Democrat. Prior to that, Republican. Well, Senator Cotton.
I'm sure you'll have future opportunities. You know, you and I are both former prosecutors. I'm not going to require you to answer. I just want to make a statement that my experience of prosecuting cases, when a robber held a gun to somebody's head and said, I hope you will give me your wallet, the word hope was not the most operative word at that moment. But you don't have to respond to that point. I have a series of questions to ask you, and they're going to start with, are you aware of any meetings between the Trump administration officials and Russian officials during the campaign that have not been acknowledged by those officials in the White House?
That's not a, even if I remember, clearly that's not a question I can answer in an open setting.
Are you aware of any efforts by Trump campaign officials or associates of the campaign to hide their communications with Russian officials through encrypted communications or other means?
I have to give you the same answer, Senator.
Sure. In the course of the FBI's investigation, did you ever come across anything that suggested that communications records, documents, or other evidence had been destroyed?
I think I got to give you the same answer because it would touch on investigative matters.
And are you aware of any efforts or potential efforts to conceal communications between campaign officials and Russian officials?
I think I have to give you the same answer, Senator.
Thank you. As a former Attorney General, I have a series of questions about your connection with the Attorney General during the course of your tenure as director. What is your understanding of the parameters of General Sessions' recusal from the Russia investigation?
I think it's described in a written release or statement from DOJ, which I don't remember sitting here, but the gist was he would be recused from all matters relating to Russia and the campaign or activities of Russia and the 16 election, I think, something like that.
Is your knowledge of the extent of his recusal based on the public statements he's made?
Correct.
Okay. So was there any kind of memorandum issued from the Attorney General or the Department of Justice to the FBI outlining the parameters of his recusal?
Not that I'm aware of.
And do you know if he reviewed any FBI or DOJ documents pertaining to the investigation before he was recused?
I don't know.
And after he was recused? I'm assuming it's the same answer.
Same answer.
And aside from any notice or memorandum that was not sent or was, what mechanism or processes were in place to ensure that the Attorney General would not have any connection with the investigation, to your knowledge?
I don't know for sure. I know that he had consulted with career ethics officials that know how to run a recusal at DOJ, but I don't know what mechanism they set up.
And the Attorney General recused himself from the investigation, but do you believe it was appropriate for him to be involved in the firing of the chief investigator of that case, of that Russia interference?
That's something I can't answer sitting here. It's a reasonable question, but that would depend on a lot of things I don't know. Like, what did he know? What was he told? Did he realize that the president was doing it because of the Russia investigation? Things like that. I just don't know the answer.
You've mentioned in your written testimony in here that the president essentially asked you for a loyalty pledge. Are you aware of him making the same request of any other members of the cabinet?
I am not.
Do you know one way or another what he...
I don't know one way or another. I've never heard anything about it.
And you mentioned that on... you had the conversation where he hoped that you would let the Flynn matter go on February 14th or thereabouts. It's my understanding that Mr. Sessions was recused from any involvement in the investigation about a full 2 weeks later. To your knowledge, was the Attorney General, did he have access to information about the investigation in those interim 2 weeks?
In theory, sure, because he's the Attorney General, I don't know whether he had any contact with any materials related to that.
To your knowledge, was there any directive that he should not have any contact with any information about the Russian investigation between the February 14th date and the day he was ultimately recused or recused himself on March 2nd?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know one way or another.
And did you speak to the Attorney General about the Russia investigation before his recusal?
I don't think so, no.
Do you know if anyone in the department, in the FBI, forwarded any documents or information or memos of any sort to the attention of the Attorney General before his recusal?
I don't know of any or remember any sitting here. It's possible, but I don't remember any.
Do you know if the Attorney General was involved, in fact involved, in any aspect of the Russia investigation after his recusal on the 2nd of March?
I don't. I would assume not, but I don't. Let me say it this way. I don't know of any information that would lead me to believe he did something to touch the Russia investigation after the recusal.
In your written testimony, you indicate that after you were left alone with the president, you mentioned that it was inappropriate and should never happen again to the Attorney General. And apparently he did not reply, and you write that he did not reply. What did he do, if anything? Did he just look at you? Was there a pause for a moment? What happened?
I don't remember real clearly. I have a recollection of him just kind of looking at me, and there's a danger here I'm projecting onto him, so this may be a faulty memory, but I kind of got his body language gave me the sense like, what am I going to do?
Did he shrug?
I don't remember clearly. I think the reason I have that impression is I have some recollection of almost imperceptible, like, what am I going to do? But I don't have a clear recollection of that. He didn't say anything.
And on that same February 14th meeting, you said you understood the president to be requesting that you drop the investigation. After that meeting, however, you received two calls from the president, March 30th and April 11th, where the president talked about a cloud over his presidency. Has anything you've learned in the months since your February 14th meeting changed your understanding of the president's request? I guess it would be what he has said in public documents or public interviews?
Correct.
And is there anything about this investigation that you believe is in any way biased or is not being informed by a process of seeking the truth?
No. The appointment of a special counsel should offer great, especially given who that person is, great comfort to Americans, no matter what your political affiliation is, that this will be done independently, competently, and honestly.
And do you believe that he should have full authority, Mr. Mueller, to be able to pursue that investigation?
Yes, and knowing him well over the years, if there's something that he thinks he needs, he will speak up about it.
Do you believe he should have full independence?
Oh, yeah, and he wouldn't be part of it if he wasn't going to get full independence.
Thank you.
Senator Harris. From California. This is Senator Cornyn. This is highly anticipated, Senator from Texas.
I believe you're a good and decent man who's been dealt a very difficult hand, starting back with the Clinton email investigation. And I appreciate your willingness to appear here today voluntarily and answer our questions and cooperate with our investigation. As a general matter, if an FBI agent has reason to believe that a crime has been committed, do they have a duty to report it?
That's a good question. I don't know that there's a legal duty to report it. They certainly have a cultural, ethical duty to report it.
You're unsure whether they would have a legal duty?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've not thought about it before. I don't know where the legal – there's a statute that prohibits misprision of a felony, knowing of a felony, and taking steps to conceal it. But this is a different question. And so, look – let me be clear. I would expect any FBI agent who has reason, information about a crime being committed, to report it.
Me too.
But where you rest that obligation, I don't know. It exists.
And let me ask you as a general proposition, if you're trying to make an investigation go away, is firing an FBI director a good way to make that happen? By that, I mean...
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'm obviously hopelessly biased, given that I was the one fired.
I understand it's personal.
No, given the nature of the FBI, I meant what I said. There's no indispensable people in the world, including at the FBI, that there's lots of bad things about me not being at the FBI. Most of them are for me, but the work's going to go on as before.
So nothing that's happened that you've testified to here today has impeded the investigation of the FBI or Director Mueller's commitment to get to the bottom of this from the standpoint of the FBI and the Department of Justice. Would you agree with that?
Correct. Especially the appointment of former Director Mueller is a critical part of that equation.
Let me take you back to the Clinton email investigation. I think you've been cast as a hero or a villain, depending on the whose political ox is being gored at many different times during the course of the Clinton email investigation, even now, perhaps. But you clearly were troubled by the conduct of the sitting Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, when it came to the Clinton email investigation. You mentioned the characterization that you'd been asked to accept that this was a matter and not a criminal investigation, which you said it was. There was the matter of President Clinton's meeting on the tarmac with the sitting Attorney General at a time when his wife was a subject to a criminal investigation, and you suggested that perhaps there are other matters that you may be able to share with us later on in a classified setting. But it seems to me that you clearly believe that Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, had a an appearance of a conflict of interest on the Clinton email investigation. Is that correct?
I think that's fair. I didn't believe she could credibly decline that investigation, at least not without grievous damage to the Department of Justice and to the FBI.
And under Department of Justice and FBI norms, wouldn't it have been appropriate for the Attorney General, or if she had recused herself, which she did not do, for the Deputy Attorney General to appoint a special counsel? That's essentially what's happened now with Director Mueller. Would that have been an appropriate step in the Clinton email investigation, in your opinion?
Certainly a possible step, yes, sir.
And were you aware that Ms. Lynch had been requested numerous times to appoint a special counsel and had refused?
Yes, I think Congress had, members of Congress had repeatedly asked, yes, sir.
Yours truly did on multiple occasions. And that heightened your concerns about the appearance of a conflict of interest with the Department of Justice, which caused you to make what you have described as an incredibly painful decision to basically take the matter up yourself, and led to that July press conference.
Yes, sir. I can say, after the President Clinton, former President Clinton, met on the plane with the Attorney General, I considered whether I should call for the appointment of a special counsel, and I decided that that would be an unfair thing to do because I knew there was no case there. We had investigated it very, very thoroughly. I know this is a subject of passionate disagreement, but I knew there was no case there, and calling for the appointment of a special counsel would be brutally unfair because it would send the message, aha, there's something here. That was my judgment. Again, lots of people have different views of it, but that's how I thought about it.
Well, if a special counsel had been appointed, they could have made that determination that there was nothing there and declined to pursue it, right?
Sure, but it would have been many months later or a year later.
Right. Let me just ask you to, given the experience of the Clinton email investigation and what happened there, do you think it's unreasonable for anyone, any president, who has been assured on multiple occasions that he's not the subject of an FBI investigation, do you think it's unreasonable for them to want the FBI director to publicly announce that so that this cloud over his administration would be removed?
I think that's a reasonable point of view. The concern would be obviously, because if that boomerang comes back, it's going to be a very big deal because there will be a duty to correct.
Well, we saw that in the Clinton email investigation, of
yes,
course.
I recall that.
Yeah, I know you do. So let me ask you finally in the minute that we have left, there was this conversation back and forth about loyalty, and I think we all appreciate the fact that an FBI director is a unique public official in the sense that he's a political appointee in one sense, but he has a duty of independence to pursue the law pursuant to the Constitution and laws of the United States. And so when the president asked you about loyalty, you got in this back and forth about, well, I'll pledge you my honesty. And then it looks like, from what I've read, you agreed upon honest loyalty or something like that. Is that the characterization?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas.
Senator Reid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Director Comey. There have been press reports that the president, in addition to asking you to drop the Flynn investigation, has asked other senior intelligence officials to take steps which would tend to undermine the investigation into Russia. There's been reports that he's asked D.N.I. Coates and Admiral Rogers to make public statements exonerating him or taking the pressure off him, and also reports about Admiral Rogers and Director Pompeo to intervene and reach out to the FBI and ask them. Are you aware of any of these, or do you have any information with respect to any of these allegations?
I don't. I'm aware of the public reporting, but I had no contact, no conversation with any of those leaders about that subject.
Thank you. You have testified that you interpret the discussion with the president about Flynn as a direction to stop the investigation. Is that correct?
Yes.
You've testified that the president asked you to lift the cloud by essentially making public statements exonerating him and perhaps others. You refused, correct?
I didn't do it. I didn't refuse the president. I told him we would see what we could do, and then the second time he called, I told him in substance, that's something your lawyer will have to take up with the Justice right. Department.
And part of the underlying logic was that, we've discussed many times throughout this morning, is the duty to correct. That is one of a theoretical issue, but also a very practical issue. Was there your feeling that the direction of the investigation could, in fact, include the president?
Well, in theory, I mean, as I explained, the concern of one of my senior leader colleagues was, if you're looking at potential coordination between the campaign and Russia, the person at the head of the campaign is the candidate. So logically, this person argued, the candidate's knowledge, understanding, will logically become a part of your inquiry if it proceeds. And so I understood that argument. My view was that what I said to the president was accurate and fair to him. I resisted the idea of publicly saying it, although if the Justice Department had wanted to, that I would have done it, because of the duty to correct and the slippery slope problem.
And again, also, you've testified that the president asked you repeatedly to be loyal to him, and you responded you would be honestly loyal, which is, I think, your way of saying, I'll be honest and I'll be the head of the FBI and independent. Is that fair?
Correct. I tried honest first, and also, I mean, you see it in my testimony, I also tried to explain to him why it's in his interest and every president's interest for the FBI to be a part, in a way, because its credibility is important to a president and to the country. And so I tried to hold the line. It got very awkward, and I then said, you'll always have honesty from me. He said, honest loyalty, and then I acceded to that as a way to end this awkwardness.
At the culmination of all these events, you're summarily fired without any explanation or anything else.
Well, there was an explanation. I just don't buy it.
Well, yes. So you're fired. So do you believe that you were fired because you refused to take the president's direction? Is that the ultimate reason?
I don't know for sure. I know I was fired. Again, I take the president's words. I know I was fired because of something about the way I was conducting the Russia investigation, was in some way putting pressure on him, in some way irritating him, and he decided to fire me because of that.
Now,
I can't go farther than that.
The Russian investigation, as you have pointed out, and as all my colleagues have reflected, is one of the most serious hostile acts against this country in our history, undermining the very core of our democracy and our elections. It is not a discrete event. It will likely occur. It's probably being prepared now for 18 and 20 and beyond. And yet, the President of the United States fires you because, in your own words, some relation to this investigation. And then he shows up in the Oval Office with the Russian foreign minister, first after classifying you as crazy and a real nut job, which I think you've effectively disproved this morning. He said, I face great pressure because of Russia, that's taken off. Your conclusion would be that the president, I would think, is downplaying the seriousness of this threat. In fact, took specific steps to stop a thorough investigation of the Russian Russian influence, and also from what you've said or what was been said this morning, doesn't seem to be particularly interested in these hostile threats by the Russians. Is that fair?
I don't know that I can agree to that level of detail. There's no doubt that it's a fair judgment. It's my judgment that I was fired because of the Russia investigation. I was fired in some way to change, or the endeavor was to change the way the Russia investigation was being conducted. That is a very big deal, and not just because it involves me. The nature of the FBI and the nature of its work requires that it not be the subject of political consideration. And then on top of that, you have the Russia investigation itself is vital because of the threat. And I know I should have said this earlier, but it's obvious. If any Americans were part of helping the Russians do that to us, that is a very big deal. And I'm confident that if that is the case, Director Mueller will find that evidence.
Finally, the president tweeted that James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversation before he starts leaking to the press. Was that a rather unsubtle attempt to intimidate you from testifying and intimidate anyone else who seriously crosses his path of not doing it?
I'm not going to sit here and try to interpret the president's tweets. To me, its major impact was, as I said, occurred to me in the middle of the night, holy cow, there might be tapes. And if there are tapes, it's not just my word against his on the direction to get rid of the Flynn investigation.
Thank you very much.
Senator Jack Reed.
Senator McCain.
Democrat of Rhode Island, now Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona.
Of Hillary Clinton, you made the statement that there wasn't sufficient evidence to bring a suit against her, although it had been very careless in their behavior. But you did reach a conclusion in that case that it was not necessary to further pursue her. Yet at the same time, in the case of Mr. Comey, you said that there was not enough information to make a conclusion. Tell me the difference between your conclusion as far as former Secretary Clinton is concerned and Mr. Trump.
The Clinton investigation was a completed investigation that the FBI had been deeply involved in, and so I had an opportunity to understand all the facts and apply those facts against the law as I understood them. This investigation was underway, still going when I was fired, so it's nowhere near in the same place. At least it wasn't when I was.
But it's still ongoing.
Correct. So far as I know, it was when I left.
That investigation was going on. This investigation is going on. You reached separate conclusions.
No, that one was done.
Investigation of any involvement of Secretary Clinton or any of her associates is completed.
Yes, as of July the 5th, the FBI completed its investigative work, and that's what I was announcing, what we had done and what we had found.
Well, at least in the minds of this member, there's a whole lot of questions remaining about what went on, particularly considering the fact that, as you mentioned, it's a, quote, big deal as to what went on during the campaign. So I'm glad you concluded that part of the investigation, but I think that the American people have a whole lot of questions out there, particularly since you just emphasized the role that Russia played. And obviously, she was a candidate for president at the time, so she was clearly involved in this whole situation where fake news, as you just described it, big deal, took place. You're going to help me out here. In other words, we're complete the investigation of anything that former Secretary Clinton had to do with the campaign is over and we don't have to worry about it anymore?
With respect to I'm a little confused, Senator. With respect to Secretary Clinton,
Yeah. We
investigated criminal investigation in connection with her use of a personal email server.
I understand.
And that's the investigation I announced the conclusion of on July 5th.
So, but at the same time, you made the announcement there would be no charges brought against then Secretary Clinton for any activities involved in the Russia involvement in our engagement in our election. I don't quite understand how you could be done with that, but not complete done with the whole investigation of their attempt to affect the outcome of our election.
No, I'm sorry. We're not, at least when I left, when I was fired on May the 9th, there was still an open, active investigation to understand the Russian efforts and whether any Americans work with them.
But you reached the conclusion that there was no reason to bring charges against Secretary Clinton. So you reached a conclusion. In the case of Mr. Comey, case of President Trump, you have an ongoing investigation. So you got one candidate who you're done with and another candidate that you have a long way to go. Is that correct?
I don't know how far the FBI has to go, but yes, that the Clinton email investigation was completed, the investigation of Russia's efforts in connection with the election, and whether there was any coordination, and if so, with whom, between Russia and the campaign, was ongoing when I left.
You just made it clear in what you said, this is a, quote, big deal, unquote. I think it's hard to reconcile. In one case, you reach a complete conclusion, and the other side, you have not. And you, in fact, obviously, there's a lot more there, as we know, as you called it, a, quote, big deal. She's one of the candidates. But in her case, you say there would be no charges. And in the case of President Trump, the investigation continues. What has been brought out in this hearing is more and more emphasis on the Russian engagement and involvement in this campaign. How serious do you think this was?
Very serious. But I want to say something, be clear. We have not announced, and there was no predication to announce, an investigation of whether the Russians may have coordinated with Secretary Clinton's campaign. Secretary Clinton's campaign.
No, but they may not have been involved with their campaign. They were involved with the entire presidential campaign, obviously.
Of course. Yes, sir. And that is an investigation that began last summer, and so far as I'm aware, continues.
So both President Trump and former candidate Clinton are both involved in the investigation, yet one of them, you said, there's going to be no charges, and the other one, the investigation continues. Well, I think there's a double standard there, to tell you the truth. Then when the president said to you, you talked about the April 11th phone call, and he said, quote, because I've been very loyal to you, very loyal. We had that thing, you know. Did that arouse your curiosity as what, quote, that thing was?
Yes.
Why didn't you ask him?
It didn't seem to me to be important for the conversation we were having to understand it. I took it to be some an effort to communicate to me this, that there is a relationship between us where I've been good to you, you should be good to me.
Yeah, but I think it would intensely arouse my curiosity if the President of the United States said, we had that thing, you know. I'd like to know what the hell that thing is, particularly if I'm the director of the FBI.
Yeah, I get that, Senator. Honestly, I'll tell you what, this is speculation, but what I concluded at the time is in his memory he was searching back to our encounter at the dinner and was preparing himself to say, I offered loyalty to you, you promised loyalty to me, and all of a sudden his memory showed him that did not happen, and I think he pulled up short. That's just a guess, but I have a lot of conversations with humans over the years.
I think I would have had some curiosity if it had been about me, to be honest with you. So are you aware anything that would believe you to believe that the president or the members of the administration or members of the campaign could potentially be used to coerce or blackmail the administration?
That's a subject for investigation. It's not something I can comment on sitting here.
But you reached that conclusion as far as Secretary Clinton was concerned. But you're not reaching a conclusion as far as this administration is concerned. Are you aware of anything that would lead you to believe that information exists that could coerce members of the administration or blackmail the administration?
That's not a question I can answer, Senator.
Senator's time's expired.
Thank you.
Senator John McCain questioning Mr.
Well, time
Comey.
Expired for the hearing. Can I say for members, we'll reconvene promptly at 1 p.m. In the hearing room. We have a vote scheduled for 1:45. I would suggest that all members promptly be there at 1 o'clock. We have about 3 minutes. I'd like to have order. Photographers, return to where you were, please.
This is Chairman Burr.
This hearing's not adjourned yet. Either that or we'll remove you. To members, we have about 3 minutes of updates that we would love to cover as soon as we get into the closed session before we have an opportunity to spend some time with Director Comey. Based on our agreement, it would be my intentions to adjourn that closed hearing between 2 and 2:10 so that members can go vote and I would urge you to eat at that time. Jim, several of us on this committee have had the opportunity to work with you since you walked in the door. I want to say personally, on behalf of all the committee members, we're grateful to you for your service to your country, not just in the capacity as FBI director, but as prosecutor, and more importantly, being somebody that loves this country enough to tell it like it is. I want to say to your workforce that we're grateful to them with the level of cooperation that they have shown us, with the trust we've built between both organizations, the Congress and the Bureau. We couldn't do our job if it wasn't for their willingness to share candidly with us the work that we need to see. This hearing's the ninth public hearing this committee has had this year. That is twice the historical year-long average of this committee. I think the Vice Chairman and my biggest challenge when this investigation has concluded is to return our hearings to the secrecy of a closed hearing, to encourage our members not to freely talk about intelligence matters publicly, and to respect the fact that we have a huge job, and that's to represent the entire body of the United States Senate and the American people, to make sure that we work with the intelligence community to provide you the tools to keep America safe, and that you do it within the legal limit or those limits that are set by the executive branch. We could not do it if it wasn't for a trusted partnership that you have been able to lead and others before you. So as we depart from this, this is a pivotal hearing in our investigation. We're grateful to you for the professionalism you've shown and your willingness. I will turn to the Vice Chairman.
I simply want to echo, one again, the thanks for your appearance. And there clearly still remain a number of questions. And the one thing I want to commit to you, and more importantly, I think, Chairman, I want to commit to all those who are still potentially watching and following. There's still a lot of unanswered questions, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to get the facts out. The American people deserve to know. There's the questions around implications of Trump officials and the Russians, but there's also the macro issue of what the Russians did and continue to do. And I think it is very important that all Americans realize that threat is real. It is continuous. It is not just towards our nation. It is all towards all Western democracies, and we have to come to a solution set. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Director Comey, thank you once again. On behalf of the committee, this hearing is adjourned.